You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Two studies released this week confirm that the West Antarctic ice sheet is collapsing, and there's very little that can be done to stop or slow it from gradually breaking apart and melting. Joining us now is Thomas Wagner, the NASA program scientist for the cryosphere, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Thank you for having me.
A joint NASA and UC Irvine study concluded that this ice sheet in western Antarctica has passed the point of no return. How much is it expected to raise sea levels as a result of that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there were two studies that were released. And one of the things that they showed, the first study looked at all the observational data from that part of the world and looked at six different glaciers draining the ice sheet. And a second one did a very detailed modeling study of one of those glaciers. And what it found was that just that one of the six is probably currently raising sea levels by about a quarter of a millimeter a year. But in the not-too-distant future, that could jump to a millimeter or more per year.
What does that mean in feet?
Well, if you just right now, sea level's rising at about 3 millimeters a year. So in 100 years, that's about a foot or so.
Uh-huh. Well, another study conducted by the University of Washington focused on one of the six glaciers called the Thwaites. And the scientists calculated that if this particular glacier were to disappear altogether, it could by itself raise sea levels by 2 feet. What would that mean?
Right.
What would that mean around the globe?
Oh, well, look, a foot and a half of sea level rise in Bangladesh displaces over 11 million people.
Wow. And we're not talking about an island there.
No, and what happens is this. Most of the world's major cities are on the coast because that's where ports are, and they're literally just a few feet above sea level. I don't have to tell you, living in New York and your listeners, what that means. Now, a lot of infrastructure is generally 4, 5, 6, 7 feet above, but the problem is, as even small increases in sea level, then the storm surge is generally that much higher.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really important thing to take into account, and what people should take away from these studies is we're really starting to kind of close the sea level budget, and we're really able to more robustly talk about what's going to happen down the road.
How large is the West Antarctic ice sheet? Isn't it in a large bowl-like depression?
If you took a can opener and popped the ice off the top of West Antarctica, you wouldn't see a continent. You'd actually see a bunch of islands. And there's so much ice there, though, on those islands that it's able to displace all the ocean in between it. And it's miles thick in places.
I've read estimates that nearly 80% of the fresh water on the planet is frozen on the South Pole.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's kind of frightening if you think of, like, if you melted all of Antarctica, you know, sea levels would rise by, you know, over 100 feet. In the area of these two studies, you're talking at about 4 feet of sea level rise total there. And it's not that I want to scare people, but what you have to realize is that sea level is going up now, and we're getting some really good estimates of how much it's going to go up in the near future, and it's time for us to start planning for that.
Now, you said that we would see islands. I always thought Antarctica was a continent.
It is, and, you know, yeah, you think of a continent, like you have the ocean and the continent rises. Well, there's two things going on. Some of the geology of Antarctica is relatively deep. It's not exactly like a continent we're familiar with. And then on top of that, the weight of the overlying ice presses the continent down below sea level.
And creating something like islands.
Literally, yeah. So East Antarctica is a continent that's a lot more like what we're familiar with in the U.S. and the other continents of the globe. West Antarctica is a more complex set of geologic features. And some of that would be naturally deep, but some of it's also depressed by the weight of the overlying ice.
Now, what's causing the ice sheet to become so unstable?
Well, back in the 70s, when people first started to get information about West Antarctica, they realized that because the ice was grounded below sea level, it was likely to be unstable. What's happening now is that we think warm water from the deep Antarctic Ocean is being stirred up by winds, and that warm water has melted the outer fringes of the ice. And now the ice has retreated inward into its deeper basins, which makes it particularly vulnerable.
Has the hole in the ozone layer been a factor in this?
Yeah, that's one of the most fascinating aspects is that, you know, we often say, listen, the ozone hole is not like climate change. In this one odd case, the loss of ozone over Antarctica has probably caused a strengthening of the polar winds. And there have probably been some other components from general global warming. And we think it's those increased strength and the direction of those winds that's causing this warm water to be driven up under the ice.
Now, haven't climate scientists feared this would happen for a long time? Were the signs earlier?
Well, number one, it's the basic geography of that part of the world that dictates that this ice loss might be unstoppable. When the theory first came out in the late 70s, it was considered controversial, but the scientific community kind of jumped on it. And, like, literally for, you know, the past two decades, we have a meeting called the WASTE meeting, the West Antarctic Ice Sheet meeting. And NASA and the National Science Foundation have had a major focus on there with ships, people on the ground, drilling, and all kinds of work.
But is the melting in this part of Antarctica happening at a rate faster than the scientists had predicted in the past?
What the interesting thing about this result is this. We have finally reached a threshold in terms of the amount of observational data we had to look at this and say, hey, this thing that we really feared could happen, it's happening right now. We've started it. It's going on.
And how long will it take for all this ice to melt?
That's kind of the cutting edge of the research and the modeling. The ice is still limited by the ice physics and how fast it can go. We're looking at something, though, that's on the centuries timescale. But what's important is that even on our, say, 100-year estimate, we need now to take this into account. And so, say, for the results that came out of the recent Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which says anywhere from, like, 1 to 3.5 feet of sea level rise, we probably need to revise those upwards in light of this.
My guest is Thomas Wagner, the NASA program scientist for the cryosphere. So what you suggested earlier is that coastal cities might have to be abandoned by the end of the century or even earlier.
Well, it depends on where you live, what resources you have, and what the geographic constraints are. Some cities, like London, are taking a really proactive stance, and they may be able to defend themselves pretty well. Other cities, it may be very, very difficult to do, and it may make sense to actually, as the water has come up, to relocate to other areas.
Well, in the case of New York, where we there are proposals for doing certain things to protect us, we realize how vulnerable we were when Hurricane Sandy hit. But is that because of rising sea levels?
In part, there are two things. One, the sea level around New York has experienced about a foot of sea level rise since the late 1800s, so that is already affecting things. So you need to kind of take that into account in terms of anything. On top of that, though, the hurricane was extremely powerful and made, you know, a wall of water, a surge more than 10 feet high. So the sea level rise compounded by that storm was a significant factor. But one thing also to consider is that the strength of that storm is probably also tied to global warming, because you had higher sea surface temperatures and more water in the air, which is what powers those things.
Now, is anybody denying global warming, or is it just the cause of this global warming? Don't some people, most recently Senator Marco Rubio, say that although it may be happening, it's not caused by human activity? Do we know for sure that humans are mainly responsible?
There's a great scientific consensus. And I think one of the things that's important is that there's no scientist seriously studying the issue that question whether putting more CO2 in the atmosphere will warm things up or has already warmed things up. The important thing for people to understand about the debate, the real question is how much warming and how soon? And that is where it starts to get, the science gets really interesting and challenging to do, and that's where there's some discussion. But in general, everybody agrees that things are warming and will continue to warm.
And we've been talking about Antarctica, but there's a similar problem in the North Pole, isn't there? And the ice sheets on Greenland are also melting very quickly and falling into the sea?
Yeah, around Greenland and also Alaska, where, you know, the Alaskan glaciers don't have nearly as much water tied up in them, say, as Greenland and Antarctica, but they're going into the ocean very rapidly, and they're an important part of current sea level rise. Greenland also, and what's scary about Greenland is that the trend seems to be accelerating over the last decade or so, and there's been some really good studies about that.
Now, we have done a number of segments on our show about the rush to access the resources in the Arctic area, is there likely to be a similar issue in the Antarctic?
There's some treaties that govern how Antarctica can be used, and it's generally reserved as a continent for peace and scientific discovery.
So there's no oil down there?
There may be, but right now, all the nations that are signatory to the treaty, they aren't going after oil there right now.
Even if climate change is seriously tackled starting today and we keep the ocean temperatures from rising, can much be done to keep the Antarctic ice sheet from totally disintegrating? Have we passed the tipping point?
A couple of different things. You know, the first one is I think people have to accept that the planet isn't just changing, it is changed. The second thing is that there are some changes coming no matter what we do, and we need to prepare for those changes, like some rises in sea level. But that does not mean that our actions cannot have great impact, especially as you start to plan out multiple decades and a century time. Now, with Antarctica, this one small part of the ice sheet, it does look like there may be no turning back, but we could have quite an impact on the rate and some other things about it.
Well, how do we get the people who actually have the power to change things, There are a lot of people in Washington who continue to be skeptics about everything we're discussing.
You know, one of the things we do is, in the scientific community, our role is to provide, you know, to do the science, to provide the most accurate information that we can. And what I can tell you is that a lot of the federal agencies, NASA has a really big program studying the ice from satellites and also aircraft. The National Science Foundation has a big program of putting people on the ground and ships. NOAA's involved in some aspects of this, the Department of Energy, even Interior and EPA. So there are a lot of smart people working really hard on this question and trying to provide the best information we can to the people of the U.S. and the world.
Some people see this as a conspiracy of scientists. You all got together and you came up with this wild notion. Is it possible that in the coming centuries there'll be no ice on either pole?
No, it's still during the winter months. It still gets really, really cold there. So like at the North Pole, there's always going to be some ice. But what's happening is this. It used to be that the Arctic Ocean would have a lot of ice in it all year round. But what's happened, people reckon that since the 80s, we've probably lost almost 80% of the ice that used to be there. It used to be very thick and it was located all over the place. Now it's melting back every year and it's relatively thin.
Now, knowing what we know about the cycles of ice on Earth, is it likely that we would get to a point where it would reverse itself and we'd have another ice age?
No, not with the level of CO2 in the atmosphere. If you look back at things like ice core records and other records, generally the ice ages are caused by small variations in the orbit and tilt of the Earth. What has happened is that the carbon dioxide contents of the atmosphere are so high now, you know, double what they were in the not-too-distant past when we had the ice ages, that we're in a period now we're going to be losing ice for the foreseeable future.
Well, on that happy note, I'm going to thank you so much for being on our show. Thomas Wagner, the NASA program scientist for the cryosphere. It's been an enlightening conversation. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me.